Welcome back to another episode of the Daily Unicorn Mini Podcast. My name is Jordan Syatt. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, in this episode, I'm really excited. I got to speak with a great woman. Her name is Carol. She lives in Arizona. She's in the inner circle. She asked if it was okay to swear on the episode, which I got very excited about. In the first minute, you'll hear what she actually says, which it blew me away that that was the cuss word that she decided to use. But anyway, we dove deep into a lot of topics pertaining to figure competitions, binge eating, food anxiety, calories, dieting in general, exercise. There was a lot discussed in this, and I think it's a very insightful episode, and I'm really excited to hear what you think. So I hope you enjoy it. Let me know if you have any questions or comments. I'll talk to you soon.
Carol, hello.
Hello.
How are you? We're live. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. So you are in Arizona, correct?
Yes.
Amazing. How's the weather?
Can I swear on this podcast?
If you didn't swear, I'd be pretty fucking weirded out. I'll be honest with you, Carol. I don't trust people that don't cuss.
Well, it sucks, pretty much. I hate heat.
Hold on, Carol. Sucks is not a swear.
I know. Well, everybody has their own version of
you gotta what put like a fuck in front of that or something. I was expecting you to really go hard right from the beginning and be like, "It is fucking terrible," and you're like, "It's really disappointing, Jordan. It's very disappointing. I'm not like."
I raised two children not for their word to be cusses to begin with, and so I'm still in that habit.
So we're easing back into the cussing world.
Slowly but surely.
All right. Hey, I can't hate on that. And to be honest, you're doing pretty well. By the end of the call, we're gonna get you to drop an F-bomb.
Okay.
So Carol, first of all, thank you for taking the time to get on the phone with me. I appreciate it. I'm assuming you remember why we're on the phone in terms of you sent me an email and I was like, hey, let's just talk about this on the phone because it's going to help a lot of people. So would you just like reiterate, I actually have the email open, but I would, whether you want to reiterate it or you want to phrase it in a new way, just talk about what you're struggling with and we'll go from there.
Okay. So a couple of years ago, a number of years ago, I retired. And then a couple of years ago, I decided I want to compete in bodybuilding and figure competition. And so, of course, my trainer had me eating only protein and vegetables.
Oy vey.
And so since I competed, I have gone back to a normal diet with my husband and I've gained, 10, 12 pounds back. And it's not pretty.
That's 10 or 12 pounds back from what you were on stage.
Yes. And I know where you're going with that.
No, I'm not going anywhere. I just wanted to clarify. I have no agenda.
Well, the reality is that you can't live your life stage ready. I know that, 10% or below body fat is just not healthy. So, but where I'm going with that is I know that I can, drop a few, but I don't know where to start because all I know, all that's in my head is you can only eat meat and vegetables. And I'm just not willing to go back to that. And so my question to you was, how can you do that? How can you drop the weight that you want, kind of eating a normal diet so that I can dine with my husband or, friends and not be odd man out?
Yeah, and not be anxious, and actually make progress, not like go back and forth. Because the word that stuck out to me in your email was again. The word again, where it happened over and over, where you would get down to a certain weight and then you'd try to go to you'd call it a normal diet, and then you'd gain a lot of weight back. And again, again, and again. And like, I think a lot of people relate to that. Again.
Yeah.
Like, really?
It's so frustrating.
It's so frustrating, and that's one of the reasons I was so excited to get on the phone, because it's such a common struggle, and it's so easy to feel like you're the only one struggling with it. One of the other word that you said that stuck out to me was normal. like you follow a normal diet, but then you would gain the weight back. But then it seems that normal diet to you sounds more like what you had been taught in terms of only protein and vegetables. Is that correct or no?
Well, to me, that's not a normal diet. A normal diet would have, you know, some carbs in there, maybe an occasional cheat meal. But I feel I'm overcome with, you know, anxiety. If I decide I'm going to have a cheat meal, I have an unhealthy relationship with food, I'm sure.
Well, good. This is really good to talk about because it's not stuff that you necessarily mentioned in the email, but like it's important to talk about it and understand it. And because when we really can understand, hey, like I have food anxiety and I get nervous when I have carbs, and let me ask you this, because logic and emotion are two different things. Logically, do carbs make you fat?
No. And I know this. And thank you for telling us over and over again that fruit doesn't make you fat.
Well, that's just comical to me at this point. It's like, it's mind boggling. So let me ask you this. When do you notice yourself starting to get anxious? Are you anxious when you are prepping for a competition, or are you anxious when the competition's over?
Prepping.
Okay, so you get anxious around food while you're prepping?
Yes.
And then when you're done and you're are you anxious that you're going to put weight back on or no?
Oh, yes.
Got it. Okay.
Not anxious. It's just a foregone conclusion, unfortunately, you know. But logically, I know that it's okay because I'm down at such a low body weight, you know, body fat, that it's healthier for me to go up a bit. But then I just go off the rails and I went up more than I wanted to.
Got it. So it's going to be a very interesting transition. The original question was, and from the email, how do I have a normal diet and not gain so much weight back after the competition? What the question is really becoming, which is what I was anticipating, was how do I not go off the rails and binge and like have all this food anxiety and have this negative emotional relationship with food? Right?
Because Yeah. It's definitely, I wouldn't say I'm so much of a binge eater, which is thank goodness, but I will eat whatever I want. And I know it's not good. It's not at the binge level, but it's uncontrolled.
So, and we'll call it uncontrolled. And in the way that I look at binging is it's an uncontrolled eating. Binging, doesn't even have to be eating. Binging can be anything, whether it's
okay.
Like binging TV watching or binge drinking or binge, like literally like workaholics, like binge working, you could call it, like where they just go nonstop.
Yeah.
Anything where it's uncontrolled. And this, it's one of the really important distinctions I'll make with a client. I recently had this discussion with someone yesterday where she told me, she was like, I have binge eating issues. And I was like, okay, so describe it to me. Like, are you anxious while you're eating it? Like, are you eating to the point of like extreme discomfort, but you can't stop? And she's like, no, realistically, like I just, whenever I'm home and I'm bored, I'll eat. And like, I don't get to discomfort, but, and she wasn't binging. She was literally just boredom eating. That was it. I was like, so we need to work on that.
Right.
But when it's a binge eating, when it's uncontrolled, that's something that like, okay, so we need to figure out what's causing that. And a lot of times binging will come from that anxiety and that fear. And there's many, many different ways to approach it, but we want to figure out, okay, how do we get rid of this habit? And it starts with developing a relationship with food that doesn't involve demonizing any food. And it's funny. So have you heard me talk about my views on cheat meals?
No.
Okay. So, and it's funny because you mentioned a cheat meal, and the phrase cheat meal to me is, I don't really like it because it inherently implies that you're doing something bad. Right.
Right. Right.
It's like however many times a week or a month you get to cheat, And that means that whatever you're eating in any other circumstance is not okay. And it creates a bad relationship. And even sometimes, tell me if I'm wrong, when you're having a quote unquote cheat meal, you'll still feel guilty about it.
Oh, for sure.
It's like, in that type of relationship where the food, when you're eating food, or like when you think about eating food, where you get anxiety or you feel guilt, that will perpetuate a binge, because it's almost like when, like, I know for me, like if I pass a fire alarm, I always want to pull it. I always want to pull it. There's never been a time where I haven't been like, maybe I could, right? Like, it's not the same type of logic where it's like, I can easily not do that. But like, anytime you set your mind and your body up in a position of like, you shouldn't be doing this, you're automatically going to have like that innate desire to do the opposite. And when you push yourself to the extreme of, I can't have this, I can't have this, I can't have this, I can't have this, I can't. And then all of a sudden you break, it's way harder to control it. Does that make sense?
Right.
So let me ask you this, like, before you got into figure competitions, were like, in you said you retired and you got into figure competitions?
Yes.
Were you very into fitness before?
Nope.
So give us some background on that, because like, I'm very interested to hear what your fitness level was like, what your relationship with food was like, all that before you got into competitions.
I pretty much ate whatever I wanted. And I, you know, I guess genetically I'm not not super overweight, but I am an amputee. And so my, you know, mobility and my ability to exercise is always a challenge. One that I'm always willing to try anything out, but you know, it's not like I can, take a run or, do lunges or anything like that. So that's been the limiting factor. I probably would not have as many issues with food if I think was didn't have the situation going on physically.
In terms of, you think that if you were able to burn more calories through exercise, you wouldn't have that relationship?
Right. So all I do
was that is a dangerous road that a lot of people do go down, because then they have a dangerous relationship with exercise. And there's exercise induced anorexia, and there's exercise induced, like, there's a lot of, like, there are people who do that for hours and hours and hours all day, every day, to burn and burn and burn and burn and burn. And like,
right,
whole separate issue. So I'll tell you what, are you doing more figure competitions?
No.
Thank God.
That messed with my mind so badly. I just had to walk away.
And I'm so glad you did walk away, because now you can heal. And yeah. I had a big conversation with someone recently. And this will probably hit home with you. She was sobbing by the end of the call. It was actually, I went on Instagram and I made a post. I was like, I'm going to call like random people, DM me your number. And she was one of the people that I randomly DM'd. And she was excited at first. And by the end of the call, she was sobbing, because I hit on such an emotional point for her. She uses figure competitions, binge eating, like bulimia, just a lot of like anxiety around food. And which is something, by the way, I think is very important to keep in mind. A lot of people look at figure competitors like, oh my God, I want to have their body. But they don't realize how much angst and like how much struggles they go through mentally and emotionally with food. It's not like, it's not something to desire.
And it's compounded by the fact that you're next to another figure competitor, and you're like, I need her body, even though yours might be at the same point.
Yeah, you're always comparing.
It's yourself. Just, here you go. It's a mind fuck.
There we go. I knew it. I told you we were going to get you to say fuck by the end of the show. This is great. It's exactly right. And so basically I spoke to her and I was like, she was telling me all these like really like very awful things that she had, these relationships with food. And I was like, so you're done competing, right? Because she pinpointed that competing was the issue. And she was like, well, no, because competing is the only, like, that's just like the only thing that'll keep me in shape. And And what I found out, and what it really was, like, she only competed because the strictness of a cut and the rigidness of doing that was actually more comfortable for her than the thought of not being on a regimented, you have to eat very few calories. And this is a really interesting point where I'll frame it this way. Some people are very, they have a really difficult time getting motivated to go to the gym. They have a very difficult time to do it. They like, it's a really big struggle. Other people go to the gym too much. They're obsessed. It's all they think about their entire life. They go and they go and they work out and they do this. And then there are people, same thing with nutrition. Some people have a hard time even thinking about counting a calorie, and other people will track, literally they'll weigh and measure that fucking water, right? Like, they'll do everything. So for her, it was more comfortable to stay in that fitness competition world because she was too nervous and anxious of what might happen to her body if she wasn't doing that, even though she knew that she was doing more harm. It was just difficult, a difficult transition. So long round.
I totally relate with that. I totally get it.
It's anxiety producing, right? It's like, because you know,
yeah,
you know that when you follow your competition plan, you'll get lean as hell. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know that, like, if you do that plan, but you also know, and this is where the competing demands will screw with you, is like, you also know you can't live like that, and you're not happy right. like that, and it's unhealthy, and yada yada yada. I'm so happy that you have gotten to the point where you realize the drawbacks of that far, like, are not worth it, and that the positives of stepping away is going to be better for you and everyone around you. So I'm very happy you're at that point, because now we can actually take time to build a healthy relationship with food. And by the way, can we just take for a second how glad we are that we didn't try to answer this via email? Like, holy shit.
Yes.
This would have been quite the discussion. But what going forward, let me ask you this. At this point in your life, like today, when do you find yourself having anxiety around food?
Cooking meals for me and my husband.
And what do you get anxious about?
That I'm not having chicken and vegetables.
So that's how you're
that I cook him delicious meals because I really love to cook. And I should be, it's the should be's, woulda, coulda, shoulda. I should be eating just chicken or turkey and some vegetables.
And so we're going to dig deeper. Why should you be doing that?
Because that way I'll be able to drop the 5 or 7 pounds that I want to get rid of.
So, and that's really where it is. It's the fear of either gaining more weight or not being able to lose weight because of whatever you're eating.
Absolutely.
This is great. This is really good. Now, for example, did you get anxiety last night cooking for your husband?
Actually, we had chicken.
Okay, so what? So last night, we'll call it. Or the 2 nights ago.
Okay. Yes, because I knew that it was going to taste good. And I knew that it had, you know, it had carbs in it.
What was that meal?
It had some fats.
Do you remember?
Have to think about it. I believe the last one that I, because we were just out of town, so I'm going back to last week.
Okay, cool.
But it, you know, it had baked potato and some top sirloin.
Okay.
And I was too lazy, so I didn't have any vegetables.
Okay, so I'm gonna do my famous trick right now, just to make something emotional become logical. You thought you got anxious that a baked potato and sirloin would make you gain weight.
Well, you know, that baked potato was not a naked baked potato. Let's be real.
What do you mean? Like, what was
butter, on? Butter, sour cream.
Okay. Like a lot. Like, was it drenched?
No.
If you saw a friend having that, like, would you be like, oh my God, you're going to get fat?
No.
But for yourself.
Ooh, that was good.
That's amazing. Now, So this, here's what it boils down to is for anybody else, you're logical. For yourself, it becomes emotional.
Yes.
So if you were out with friends and they had the exact same meal as you, you'd be like, no, you're fine. But if it's yourself, it's sitting in front of you, all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Right. But if I like my thought, the thing that's going through my head right now is if I had that every day, if I had all those carbs, fats, and I know the top sirloin's not that bad, I think, but if I had the carbs and the fats every day, that's where I get, you know, I freak out.
Well, let me ask you this. What is the only way you can gain fat? Like, what is literally the only way?
Eating fat?
No, you know this. You know the answer. The only way possible to gain fat.
Not exercise?
Nope.
I don't know. Have you
been keeping up with my posts?
I'm sorry, but life has gotten really busy for me recently. Carol? And I just printed off your April thing. I was reading it today.
The number one only way to gain fat is by being in a calorie surplus.
Oh, right. Yes, I remember that.
It has nothing to do with anything else than eating more calories than your body needs. So, for example, you talk about not exercising. Okay, well, the only way not exercise, like, there are plenty of people who don't exercise who aren't overweight. They're just not eating in a calorie surplus, or like eating, like there are plenty of people who eat lots of fats. It's fats right. are like fats are not like the fat that you eat does not mean that you're going to turn it into fat. It anything, protein, carbs, fats will turn into fat in your body if you have more calories in your body than it needs to maintain its current function, right?
Okay, so that is exactly where do you start? When do you know? And I haven't made it through the 14-day fat loss, but where do you know what your calories should be and how you break that down into, you know, how many grams of protein, fat, and carbs?
Very simple. So first and foremost, I don't want you doing the 14-day fat loss protocol at all because. That the way that I look at that is that's if you have a very healthy relationship with food and if you want like a little kickstart or whatever, that would be something that would perpetuate binge eating with you in terms of you have to stick to something sustainable for 3 months before you try something like that. Like you should be able to stick to something very slow and steady that calms your anxiety around food, that doesn't make you worry about it. So when you were doing competition prep, you weren't counting your calories, were you?
Oh, yes, I was.
How many calories were you eating?
I believe I was $1,400 to $1,600. I wish. $1,400 to $1,600.
Every day, $1,400 to $1,600.
Yep.
Got it. And so, did your coach come up with those numbers?
Yes.
And that caused you to lose weight very quickly?
That was not when I was losing weight. I was trying to gain, you know, more muscle mass.
So how many calories when you were cutting for the competition?
I think I was at 1,100.
Got it. Okay, that makes more sense. So you were eating 1,100, and I'm assuming you were very hungry. And not only did you have the calories, you also had like a meal plan. They said you have to eat this food, not that food type thing.
Yep.
Got it. Okay. And they said, like, you can't eat this, you can't eat that, this is bad for you, this will make you fat type thing.
Yeah.
I need to throw all that shit out the window. That's fucking ridiculous.
That is easier said than done, but I'm willing to listen.
But I can tell you right now, there's so much information, both not only just on my Instagram, but in the inner circle, that you need to go in there because, like, there's a fuck ton of information in there. Like, not only, like, the regular stuff, but I don't know if you saw, I just made a brand new section called The Vault, which is just tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of my guides and manuals and everything you need to know, how to calculate your calories, how to calculate your macros, how to literally I'm making one today on how to get over binge eating, like all like tons and tons of my guys in there. So this is something you have to go in there for. But the most important thing, and I'm glad that we arrived here, because I was sort of – I had assumed that it was already – that you we had the calorie base. So we're coming back to the calories. When you can really internalize this and really believe that calories are king when it comes to fat loss and fat gain, then all of the fear around carbs or fats or this food or that food will go away, because a calorie – is always just a calorie. Did you see that post I put up on Instagram the other day about that?
I'm not sure.
So I'll explain it. I'm sure you've heard that some people say there are good calories and bad calories, right?
For sure.
Do you understand why that's absolutely fucking ridiculous?
Yes, I do.
Perfect. So basically that a calorie is literally just a unit of measurement.
Right.
Right? That's all it is. Like, all a calorie is, it doesn't matter if you have a calorie from broccoli or a calorie from pizza. All a calorie is it tells you how much energy is in that food.
Right.
Right? Like, that's it. It's in the same way that a ruler tells you how much an inch is. Like, it doesn't matter if you use a ruler or a measuring tape, an inch is an inch regardless of what you're using.
Exactly.
It's simply just a unit of measurement. That does not mean that broccoli or that pizza is more nutritious than broccoli. It does not mean that like it's the quote unquote healthier option or the better option for fat loss. All it means is that the calories are the same, because it's just a unit of measurement in the same way that an inch is. So when people say there are good calories and bad calories, it makes no sense. There are more nutritious foods and less nutritious foods, and more calorie dense foods and less calorie dense foods.
Right.
But a calorie is a calorie. So if you wanted to, I'm not saying this is a good idea. This is completely and utterly 100% hypothetical. And actually there's been people who've done it, and just like to show what would happen, you could eat an entire diet of Twinkies, and as long as you're in a calorie deficit, you'll still lose weight and still lose fat.
Right.
Again, not recommended. But point being, calories are king when it comes to that. And when you really understand that, you can breathe and be like, okay, like it's okay if I have this baked potato with butter and sour cream on it, because I know it has 450 calories, and that I'm like, that's fine. I can have 450 calories there, and then I can have a 300 calories worth of meat, and then like I can go and have a salad beforehand. So I have a nice salad beforehand. So what, this whole meal comes out to like 800, what, 50 calories?
Right.
I'm like well below my calorie intake for the day. I still have plenty more, right?
Mm-hmm.
So knowing all of that, does that alleviate any anxiety for you?
Well, I've always known that. Okay. But I have, you know, just hearing somebody kind of bash me over the head with it is a good thing.
Good.
Remind me.
You know it. But we don't – it's – and this is something I've spoken a lot about recently, is it's – when you have a conversation with yourself in your head, it's an emotional conversation, right? It's like you're talking – like you say – like you'll be in the gym and you'll say things to yourself that like are emotion-based. But if you said them out loud – have you ever like said something out loud to somebody like, I know it sounds silly, like And all of a sudden, but if you had said it in your head, it would have been totally fine. Like you'd be really angry, like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. And all of a sudden you say it out loud. You're like, all right, listen, I realize this sounds ridiculous, but,
right.
And that's the whole, this is the whole thing. When you have a conversation with yourself in your head, it's all emotional. When you actually verbally say it, it's like, oh, that sounds stupid. So like,
yeah.
Point being, sometimes it helps to have someone to just say, hey, listen, calories are king. Doesn't matter if you have a white potato, a sweet potato. Doesn't matter if you have broccoli. It doesn't matter if you have watermelon. Doesn't matter if you have pizza. Doesn't matter, whatever. Like from a calorie perspective, you'll still lose fat as long as you're eating the right amount of calories, period. And obviously there are ways to make sure that you're staying full longer, like eating a lot of fruits and vegetables and having lean proteins. But like that doesn't mean you can't have a slice of pizza, or you can't have a piece of chocolate cake or whatever. The whole point being, my number one goal is to eliminate food anxiety, because the food anxiety that you're having is what's perpetuating the binge eating.
Right.
When you feel like, I can't eat this, this food is inherently going to make me fat, then all of a sudden it creates this anxiety, and that anxiety will fuel a binge. And it's like, it's the worst thing in the world, because you'll literally be reaching for food and putting it in your mouth uncontrollably, feeling bad about it the whole time and not able to stop.
Right.
And the best way to beat that is to all of a sudden be like, this food's totally fine. Like, this, it's not going to make me fat. Like, it's all of a sudden, it's like when there's a rule to break, you want to break it. When all of a sudden that's not a rule that's broken anymore, like it's not like a thing anymore, it's not a big deal, right?
Yeah.
It's sort of like when you're like in the courting stages of somebody, it's like you're in the chase, like, oh, you want to get them, whatever. And then finally you get them, and then you're dating for a couple months and whatever, right? It's like, it's like not like that. You don't get that feeling anymore. It's the same
right.
thing. And it sounds weird when we're talking about something so emotional as binging, but it's true. When you can really internalize and get over the fact that there's no such thing as a good food and a bad food. There's only too much and too little. And you can have too much water. People will die from drinking too much water. So it's not that there's a good or bad food. It's that there's appropriate and there's too much and too little amounts. And as long as you're eating appropriate amounts, it doesn't matter what you're eating. And like, the sooner we can get rid of that food anxiety, the happier and healthier and more you're going to get your hunger signals back. You're not going to want to binge, because you're not going to – it's not going to be like an endless pit. All of a sudden, like,
right.
you'll start to feel full because you don't have that anxiety anymore.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Do you have any questions on – I know I threw a lot of information at you. Is there anything lingering? Is there any like, well, what about this or what about that?
No, I think that the point that you made about calories are calories, reminding me that, you know, protein, fat, and carbs, the calorie is just what you're saying, the energy it takes to burn it or something like that. I know that.
Yeah.
And it was just, I needed that reminder. So what it kind of comes down to, I believe, is I just need to be more diligent, just like I was when I was competing, about counting my calories. And if I'm going to make this super, super meal for, you know, friends and family, I just need to be mindful of, well, what's that, how many calories is that going to be? And how do I structure the rest of my day so that I can enjoy myself during that dinner with family and friends and not get huge anxiety over it?
That's exactly right. It's exactly right. 100%.
It's all planning.
It's exactly right. I call it strategic dieting. It's planning diet. It's exactly right. So, for example, a lot of people are like, well, how do I go out to dinner with friends and not ruin my diet? Well, usually, more often than not, you're not going to like find out 7 minutes beforehand you're going out to dinner. It's usually like, hey, let's on this Friday, let's go out together. So
right.
there's nothing wrong with having several, like a couple big salads during the day, keeping your calorie intake low and
right.
saving up more calories for night. So then you have more leeway. And
exactly.
God forbid you fucking go over your calories at dinner, you get back on track the next day. You're not going
right.
to get fat from one dinner. Even if you go over – let's say you go over your calories by 2,000 calories. A lot of people would like freak out if they go over by like 50 calories, never mind 2,000. You go over by 2,000 calories. Most of that is not going to be stored as fat. It is your body – if every single calorie extra was stored as fat – we would get so fucking huge so fast. We have our own internal systems to regulate this stuff. We have internal systems to regulate so that we don't get too thin. For example, I mean, that's why fat loss is so hard. Like, we get hungry when we're in a calorie deficit because our body is like, whoa, 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 this isn't good. We don't want to lose fat. And we're going to start getting hungry, and then we're going to start getting tired. We're going to start making you move less so you expend less energy. Like, that's why fat loss is so hard. It's easier to get fat because, like, just from an evolutionary perspective, like, it was very hard to get too fat when we were, like, originally. Now it's
right.
not that ridiculous. But when you start eating more, when you go into bulk, you get more energy, you move more. Like, you might wake up earlier and just start moving for no fucking reason. You'll be like, haha, like, you'll go to the gym, like, I feel great, and then you'll move around more. And it's like, that's expending more energy in order to, and like, you might start noticing like your leg twitching, like shaking up and down, like for like when you're sitting down.
Yeah.
Because these are all, it's called NEAT, non-exercise activity thermogenesis. Your body has ways of preventing it. So even if you go over 2,000 calories per day, you're not all of a sudden getting fat. Like, have you ever, we've all been to a Thanksgiving dinner, eaten entirely too much, and you don't wake up fat the next day. Like, you probably don't feel good because you just ate like a pig, but
you're,
like,
right.
You're not fat. You still fit in your clothes.
Yes. I've right? done that.
We've all done it. And what I want, what I really hope that you get from this call is, number one, I want you to completely and utterly, and it's not just going to happen with the snap of a finger. It's going to take a conscious effort from you to speak out loud to yourself anytime you get anxious around food. Literally, I want you to actually speak out loud. Your husband might be like, what are you doing? You can say, shut the fuck up. Like, I'm fucking cooking your dinner. Relax. But like, out loud, if you start get nervous, hey, the most important thing is calories. No food is going to make me fat. And no one got fat from one meal, just like no one got skinny from one meal.
Right.
That's it. And I want you to – that's like your mantra. Repeat that to yourself. Relax. As long – if you do that and you can track your calories and you have all those guides in the inner circle showing you exactly how many calories you should eat and like – and whatever, that you're good. You're totally, totally fine.
I believe that that's going to happen. It's just a – it wrapping my head around, you know, talking to myself as I would a friend. If I wouldn't say it to my friend, I shouldn't be saying it to myself.
That's exactly right. That exactly 100% accurate. Don't be an asshole yourself. Stop treating yourself like an asshole. It's really not nice.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, Carol, you're my friend, and I don't like it when people treat my friends like assholes. So stop treating yourself like an asshole.
I will make every attempt.
I won't stand for it, Carol. It's not a try. It's you got to stop doing it.
It's like exercise. I mean, I'm going to have to work that muscle, and
that's exactly right. And you'll work that muscle through verbally bringing this up. Like I very much mean it. And I've said it in the inner circle a number of times, like talking to yourself. It might seem weird, but it's the quickest way to realize when you're being irrational, when you're just literally, you're saying something to yourself that in your head, for whatever reason, you emotionally start to feel like, yeah, this makes sense. And as soon as you say it, you're like, am I a fucking idiot? Like, why the hell did that just get me emotional? Like, it doesn't even make sense. So
right.
Practice that. Use that as your mantra. You have the knowledge. You know there are no good calories and bad calories. You know that. I want you to and always think about this. Like, when worst comes to worst, when you're 90 years old and, like, you're, like, really old and wrinkly and you're wearing a diaper and you're walking around, are you really going to, like, look back and say, like, fuck, I really regret having that baked potato with butter and sour cream on it?
I hope not.
Absolutely not. You're never going to, like, oh, my God. You're not even going to remember this call. You're
That's going to be pretty pitiful if I look back and hit myself, hate myself for eating a baked potato.
It's life is so much bigger than this, and there's so many amazing things going on that, like, there's no reason to let nutrition rule every waking moment of your life. It should be a part of it, and I want you to remember that and keep that in mind. And I know it's easier said than done, but just because it's easier said than done doesn't mean it can't be done. Just
right.
Keep doing it consistently every day. That's your mantra, and I want you to keep me posted and updated. Use the inner circle. You're in the inner circle. Use the Facebook group. Update us. It's insanely interactive and engaging. Come in. Tell us what's going on. In fact, I want you to do that. When we get off this call, your first step is to go in the Facebook group and talk about what we did. Tell everyone what we spoke about.
I will definitely do that. And that Facebook group, I read all those posts. It's very uplifting. You know, it's everybody's supporting each other, even though we, you know, don't know each other, really.
It's amazing. Honestly,
it really is.
I'm blown away by it. So I'm glad that you're in there reading them. And I want you to go in there today tell everyone just about like brief background, and they'll be able to listen to the podcast. That, and so thank you again for coming on. I appreciate you being so open. Seriously, I guarantee you there are going to be a lot of people who like, who message me and say, thank God that you did that. I'm not joking, because like everything you're going through, other people are going through, I promise you. So thank you for coming on and giving me your time and keep me posted. And listen, I fully believe you're going to be able to get over this. It's just going to take time and consistency and patience. And I know you can do it.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time and all your kind words.
Thank you, Carol. I look forward to reading your post soon, and I'll talk to you in a little bit. All right.
All right. Thanks again.
Bye, Carol.
Bye.
And that wraps up another episode of The Daily Unicorn. Thank you so much for listening. And if you have any questions or comments or ideas for topics, or if you want to be featured on The Daily Unicorn, go leave a comment on my most recent YouTube video and tell me what you want to talk about with me here on the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day. I'll talk to you soon.